see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program. My name is Thomas Gamble. I guess we're going on now 5 years. Three different names. Watchmen Chronicles. See, the first one was New World Order Fighters. I had that for a while. Then Watchmen Chronicles. I had that for a while. And then it ended up being Watchmen for Jesus. Each one's got a story behind it. I tell you, each one represents what I've learned. Just my thing. You know, everybody's learned something different, or learned something additional, or whatever. And we're supposed to share it, but the problem is, people belong to organizations, movements, theologies, man-made, every single one of them. Blood oaths, loyalty to some organization. Loyalty to God is one thing, loyalty to family is the same thing. It's loyalty to that which God has ordained as good. But when you're loyal to, well, I have to tell you, patriotism or a blood oath or organization or movement or theology or pastor, preacher, rabbi, pope, priest, whatever, no, it's going to go away. Jesus will never go away. He's eternal. And there's no church with a name to it. It's where two or more are gathered. That's it. Doesn't say any church in the Bible, but man makes it all up as it goes along. Gives it a name. It's like those alleged so-called professors in colleges and so-called experts, which they're not. They're humanists. They're Marxist, socialist in every college and every university and every public school is a school of humanism. Now, this is evidence. This is supported by direct evidence. It's virtually irrefutable. Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, all these secret societies, if they don't get out of these, they are going to hell. And when they die, they will spend an eternity in hell, no matter how many good deeds they do, no matter what they do, except to take Jesus as Savior. But they have one step to do before that, and that's to renounce their blood oath and loyalty to these secret societies, or their soul is damned to hell for an eternity. That's a fact. This is solemn. This is very serious, because they bring it home to their family, as if you would trod between into a mud puddle and you walk into your house bringing mud in. Well, whenever you take the blood oath to Freemasonry, any of the, no matter what kind of house, no matter what kind of background you have, 4-star general down to a private or just no military, it doesn't make any difference. It means nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Your soul is separate from any kind of hardware you wear on your chest, any kind of lambskin you got on your wall, or any blood oath you've taken to any secret society, or any trophies you've got. It means nothing. It's going to go away in the fire. It will be burned up. It's that simple. Your soul is always going to last. You come in naked, you leave naked. That's how it works. That's what the Bible says. Now, if you want to go outside the Bible, you can do that. That's your choice, but you ain't going to get very far. Because the King James Bible is the true word of God. And there is no other. And that's evidentiary. It can be proven. Simply by taking all the so-called books of God, the Bibles, Book of Urantia, Book of Enoch, whatever it is, doesn't matter, all of them, and trace backwards, not the origin forwards, but trace backwards. And the origin of these books, once you determine the year, like NIV, New American Standard, all these satanic books, all those, once you backtrack and you go to their origin, it eliminates it as a book. It's over, because then you go to the next one. You say, well, okay, well, the King James Bible is 1611. But what about the King James Bible? It's the only true word of God. The Geneva is corrupted. The great Bible, great book, was corrupted. Not complete. Oh, yeah. It's hard for people to get rid of the Geneva Bible, the Calvinist, and all those others want to stick with it because they hate the King James Bible. Because it convicts. It was a good book of the day, the Geneva, because that's all they had till King James comes along with the true word. You say, well, the King James, you trace it back to 1604. That's true. It's the King James Bible is the true word of God, right? Well, now, if you go to John, for example, I'm going to stay on this frame of thought right now when I get across to some people. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Okay. And you're going to say, well, so what? Okay. Then I'm going to say, well, now look at John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh. Oh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory of, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, how can you misinterpret that? The Word, the Bible, the Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's clear, I mean, you know. And it was only begotten of the Father. Who's the only begotten of the Father? Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. Now, watch this. 1 John 5:7. Ooh, slam dunk. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. What did I say the Word was? Made flesh, wasn't it? And the Holy Ghost. and these three are one. And what's the Word of God? King James Bible. No other book on the face of this planet in all of history can ever claim that same title. Therefore, the King James Bible, being God's only true Word of God, is the oldest book on the face of this planet. Because it goes back to the beginning when it was made flesh. It goes back to the beginning when it was with God, and it is God. The Word of God stays the same, except when Jesus Christ was born, died, rose again, there was a dispensation. Yeah, go ahead and say, are you a dispensationalist? All you want. But do it on the judgment, great white throne judgment, see what happens. You will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. You can make these claims to those who stand up for the Word of God all you want. You can block them because you're taunted to be a dispensationalist or whatever. Yeah, you. Someone asked me that when I was on a guest on a show. Tom, are you a dispensationalist? I said, I'm dispensationalist. What? What are you talking about? Am I a dispensationalist? No, I don't know what you're talking about. I follow Jesus Christ, whatever that means to you. Too much theology, too much nonsense coming from these humanists, Marxists, socialists, colleges from Harvard down to Wake Forest to Duke University. It don't make one lick of difference. University of New York, Johns Hopkins, MIT, not one lick of difference. Matter of fact, the ones I've just named are members of the Tavistock, members of the Council of Foreign Relations. They work for the Illuminati. I'm laying the groundwork. Remember that Rockefellers, write this down, gave like $20 million or so to Harvard. Now, do you think they may have a little bit of say-so about what is taught in Harvard? And I use Harvard as representative of every college in America, because that's the pristine college, right? Right down to Timbuktu Community School, don't matter. Controlled by Freemasons and the police departments. And the city council, for now, it will fail. But that's down the road. It's called the, the tribulations and judgment. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to talk a little bit. And when I mentioned about Rockefeller's funding Harvard, and it's a school of divinity, chuckle, chuckle. There's some other things I'm going to talk about today that's going to match up to that. You'll know when I get to it. That are absolutely horrific. I didn't say terrific. I said horrific. We'll talk about that. I expose these things. That's what I do. People listen or they don't listen. I don't cush nothing. I don't couch it. Cush it. Or hammock it. And if I don't want you to believe any word I say. Do not believe me. Challenge everything I say, darn it. Challenge it. And whether people get back to me or not is whatever. You know, if you find something wrong and I'm spouting something wrong here, then please tell me. But if I'm not, You see, that's how it works. Do that for everybody. Don't believe anything you hear today. I know that sounds all negative and all that, but actually deception is the rule, not the exception. Deception is exactly what is going on today. Sorry to tell you that, but it is. Especially in the government, media, military, every bit of it, because they're controlled by these secret societies. And we talked about that yesterday. I'll expound on modernized paganism today. I'll continue it like I said I would. And I want to morph. I want to move into the end times events, if I have the time. We'll see how far we get. And some headlines, news, and so forth to show you what's behind them. Real world events. Lord, we come today before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, lead us today with your Holy Spirit. Father, this Spirit, Father, inside of us, to lead us to truth. Father, forgive us of our sins as we open the path and open the way for the Holy Spirit to work. That, Lord, you protect us from the enmities around us and the, Father, the demonization that goes on around us from the technology to the supernatural. Father, keep it back. Cleanse our bodies with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that these things we ingest, we take in, that we're attacked from the outside, from the inside, that, Lord, you protect us with the full armor of God. Father, we do pray for our brethren. We pray for our family members. We pray for family, our friends. Father, to use the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts. Lord, to guide us in the right truth. And Father, to convict us if we fall away. Father, if we are doing our Bible studies and our research, that Lord, that you'll lead us in the right path, in the right direction. And Father, to use what we preach, use what we teach, Lord, that will affect others, to lead them to Jesus as the final line. Lord, we pray for this month. We pray, Lord, that you'll let go. You'll find a way for escape of children today that have been kidnapped for these satanic practices that people don't know about. Lord, that you'll expose this and bring it out in the public. That, Lord, that prayers can be directed against this satanic worship at the highest level of government and highest level worldwide government. That, Lord, that it'll be exposed for what it really is. Lord, we call upon you to tear down the protection around the Wicca, around the Satanists and the Luciferians, to take down their protection and expose them for who and what they are at the highest level. Lord, that will give your children the opportunity, Father, to find out where to direct the prayers and for protection of their own souls and the protection of their families. Lord, we pray you'll take the Holy Spirit, Lord, and touch your hearts of those in these lodges and, Father, in these secret societies, and you'll bring those out of there that don't understand what's going on, that, Father, you give them the courage to pray against these secret societies, to pray against these blood oaths, and, Lord, to come out and expose them for what they are. And, Lord, that there are some inside that can be saved. Lord, that you can use them in your service, in your pastoral services, Lord. And, Father, to give us knowledge and discernment to be able to see, to discern the times that's coming, that, Lord, will lead us to be able to teach to others. And, Lord, for ourselves, that we'll keep strong and protected when we're attacked by the outside forces. Lord, in all these things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, he's not messing around out there. He is real. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. There's people out there today that aren't people. And you say, oh, Tom has slipped out. No, I haven't. You can see it every day now. There's on these YouTube, it shows you actual events and cameras that catch certain things that happen. And you're seeing it today now. And what's that am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about human beings that are possessed fully possessed by demonic entities that talk in terms that no human can talk about. They talk about before the beginning of life, that you know it. A human being saying, I know you, I know your father. We've been here since the beginning. We? Well, you got a mouse in your pocket? What do you mean we? So you got, I'm going to eat your flesh and things like this at a McDonald's restaurant. The woman breaks windows. Family, there's a demonic influence. The veil is thinning to where the demonic realm is opening up, coming into this realm, in this dimension called Earth. There's three heavens. The third heaven is where God and Jesus, the Trinity, lives. But the Holy Spirit is encompassing in the whole universe. Earth is all encompassed by the Holy Spirit. But there are three heavens. The third heaven, mentioned by Paul is heaven where God resides. Separated by water. How that works, I don't know. But somehow there's water up there that separates the second heaven, which is the planetary alignments, earth, sun, moon, etc., the physical known universe that human flesh cannot dwell in, but supernatural beings can, is a known universe that we see when we look up and see the stars. That's the second heaven. And a demonic and a realm that is flesh you don't see around you. You could have a billion, literally, a billion demons around you, but they can't touch you because the Holy Spirit restrains them. Can you be demonized? Absolutely. Can you be possessed as a born-again Christian? No. But demonized? Yes. And they remember. They know what attracts you. They know what your weaknesses are. Now, this principle works throughout the world. At the highest level of government, right down to the individual. To find out what you need, they'll fulfill that need to pull you in to their realm and away from Jesus Christ. Family, this is not about philosophy or good and bad and all that. This is about physics, biology, chemistry, alchemy. The craft that Freemasons know about or taught, but that's just to hook and crook them. It's physics, quantum physics. So they know your weaknesses. They try to find a weak moment. It's based on frequency. Each demon, it's like a ranking structure. What's a ranking structure in the military? Private, BFC, Lance Corporal, Corporal, Sergeant, Staff Sergeant, Gunnery Sergeant, Mass Sergeant, First Sergeant, Master Gunnery, all the way up, boop, boop, boop. Second Lieutenant, First Lieutenant, Major, you got the idea. It's a ranking structure. You got bars and stars on your collars and so forth and all this, just to pump you up a little bit. The same thing in the demonic realm and the angelic realm. You got different orders of angels. You know about those, the nine orders of angels. You've got the same thing in the demonic realm, in the second heaven. And the demons below that do the torment for those been sent to hell. So in the second heaven, you've got a ranking structure. Principalities and powers of darkness. Well, let's fine-tune it. Different frequencies established a ranking structure of the angelic race or the demonic realm. So you've got like foot soldiers with a different frequency for lust, adultery, thievery, homosexuality, murder. All these are a different frequency. And each person has a weakness which is identified by a frequency and using quantum physics, a certain aura of color that you can't see. It's all about physics, but the demonic realm can see it. You can't. Now, on a level for us, when they identify the Illuminati, the human realm, has got your DNA, they can track your DNA signature from space because you put off an aura of energy. They can track it. So when they put the microchips in your body, and in the future, the digital tattoo, it enhances that DNA signature. So once they have you locked in because your DNA acquired by your blood that you gave, they know your DNA signature. They have it cataloged in the computer. They can find you anywhere. So this thing about your cell phone, all this fancy stuff you all do with your cell phones, and those that don't have cell phones, you're off the grid. You're not off the grid. That's a bunch of baloney. They can find you anytime they want to. All they got to have is your DNA signature. Well, they can manipulate that. just like a demon can. They have synthetic EMF transmissions, synthetic possession, you might call it, psychotronic weapons, voice-to-skull technology, ELF transmissions. These things are real. They don't want you to know that, because you know how you can defeat it? By the power of God and the Holy Spirit. When you're in touch with Jesus Christ, when you're in touch with the Holy Spirit, that's more powerful than their psychotronic weaponry. If you're truly a child of God, and you got the Holy Spirit protecting you, well, whose energy do you think is more powerful? Family, this is quantum physics. And these are things they don't want you to know. So they placate you in church. You go to sit down in church, and you do the water duck, the head up and down. Oh, yep, yep, great message. Oh, great message. But were you convicted? Were you really convicted of the sins you might have committed this past week, the past month? The unforgiven trespasses or unforgiven debt. When it talks about debt in the prayer that I give, since you found in Matthew 6, that's not money debt. That's a debt that you need to pay. That means to find forgiveness of that person you wronged. You can't always do that. God knows your heart. But I will tell you quickly, a personal experience, real fast. I don't know anybody else to use, so I use myself for an example. This program is not about me. This is about Jesus Christ. It's about the truth. But I have to use examples sometimes, so I use myself this time. I've been married more than once. And in the first two marriages, I was not a good husband. So that means I hurt two people in my life. I don't physically hurt anybody like that. Matter of fact, I hate bullies. That's something I got to work on. I don't like bullies at all. But emotionally, I was not a good person. And adultery and all this other stupid nonsense is what I was guilty of. Well, always when I became born again, I've always been sorry for that, but God forgave me. It's always stuck in my heart because I always think about it. And that's Satan trying to bring it back up again. And the Holy Spirit saying, no, you've been forgiven. But I had those two debts I had to pay. I always felt. Long story short, I have been given the past year and this year the opportunity to actually ask for forgiveness of the two previous marriages. God gave me that opportunity to do that. And I did it. I had to clear that slate. Well, he actually made it possible for me to do that. Because of chance meetings, you might say. And it puts it on your heart to do the right thing. That's what that means. To forgive others of their debt and your debt. If you're truly sincere about it, he'll give you that opportunity to see if you're put, it's kind of like put up or shut up. And the same thing about entertain strangers unaware for you not knowing that they may be angels. You say, oh yeah, I give, I do this, I do that, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, when you're out by yourself and you're going to your car, and a homeless person pops up in front of you out of nowhere and wants some money, now what are you going to do when people aren't watching? You don't give money to church because everybody can see you. You do Toys or Tots because everybody can see you. You do things where everybody can see you. Great. Well, that may be good. Okay, fine. But what happens when nobody sees you and you're there confronted with that situation? Now what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, get away. Go away. Or you're going to go ahead and help the person as God puts it on your heart. There's your tithing. That's what real tithing is. It's not giving 10% to church. They just put the guilt on you to give 10%. Then they give you a tax break on it, for goodness sakes. It's when it really counts. When it's between you and God. That's your tithing. They don't tell you that. That's the real tithing. 10% tithing was for the Jews anyway, before Jesus Christ came into this world. Same thing, Sabbath. That's another story. It's in the Bible. Had a requirement for the Jews then because Jesus wasn't born and died yet. So they gave him specifics. 10%. And every, you know, whatever, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. But then after Jesus Christ died, rose again, any day is a Sabbath that you pick. You pick. That's another story. But they want to make you feel guilty. SDA on Saturday. The Catholic Church for Sunday. And they're both in conflict with each other. And both of them don't know what the dickens they're talking about. Because after Jesus Christ was born, died, rose again, he fulfilled the Sabbath. He is the Sabbath. You see. So what do you do when no one's watching? But someone is watching. God is. And God already knows what you're going to do. He just gives you the opportunity to do it. This is what it's all about. It's not about Ebola. It's not about plastic coffins down in Atlanta, Georgia. It's not about Fukushima or Nibiru or what else is it? Sandy Hook or all this stuff to keep you all busy, tied up, and scared. Are bad times coming? You better believe they are, because judgment's coming. We pull away from God, he's going to pull away from us. And to a certain extent, Jonathan Conjob of Harbinger and Shimitar, whatever, oh, it's correct. He's just telling you what's going to happen because he's linked into the Illuminati anyway. So they can have correct prophecies because they're linked up to them anyway. You know. So that's why, you know, like Nostradamus, he wasn't, and Edward Casey and Gene Dixon, all these, they're not prophets of God. Prophets have spoken. Last one was Revelation. His name was John of Patmos. That was it, man. That's done. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, finished. The prophecy has been said. Anything beyond that is garbage. Because the King James Bible rules. Now, today, we have what's called modernized paganism. And that is actually the infiltration of the churches, for example, actually began in 1887. I mean, there's a date for it. There's a date for it. Now, I want to move into the modernized paganism. And then, depending on the time, talk about some end time events. We'll move into Bible study tonight. 8 to 9, we'll talk some about end time events as they really are. And family, when I say really are, it's not that I'm an authority, it's that I use the Bible, which is an authority, and I can read. You know, so that's what I use as my authority, is the King James Bible. And I'll go outside the Bible. They have infiltrated the churches. When I say that, I don't say it lightly. Because every religion, I mean Christianity inclusive, every holiday, because the Bible says, in relation to every holiday, holy day, or Sabbath, even a birthday, which is humanism. We've been taught a core education that's been corrupted since the day you're born. When say that Satan is prince of this world, what do you think that really means? He just don't sit back and wait the last minute to do things. He's been setting this up ever since Nimrod. Now, say why I say Nimrod? Because the world was destroyed before Nimrod, by the way. So they found a weak link, and Nimrod started the craft of Freemasonry once again. Child sacrifice, paganism, covered over. When it was not accepted by humans, those humans that did not accept it, Christians, to encompass them, Constantine was brought into the picture to create Christianity. Being a Christian is not about Christianity. Say, how dare you say that? Well, I do dare, because which Christianity, which religion are you talking about? Which sect of Christianity? You have a choice, 37,000 of them. Pick one. They all have something different. Christianity is trying to encompass and bring in those that say they're a Christian and let you pick what you want, but they still corrupt it to keep you away from being born again. Everything, notice that. And you know the trick they pull on you? They study the Bible passionately so they can appear to be Christian. Tell you 80-90% truth, and then 10% deviate. Right there they go, off on a tangent. Well, actually, the Fuller Brush Man does that. He tells you all the good things about the brush, but he won't tell you that the teeth of the brush fall out after a couple months. You understand what I'm saying? It don't tell you the bad things, it'll tell you all the good things. It'll tell you all the truth. So everything else must be true, right? No. It's a trick. That's how it's called a cult. I remember I said yesterday I was going to talk about witchcraft in the church. Ooh, it's going to bring up some eyebrows. But in the meantime, here we go. God put in my heart some things to say, and I had to get those out. Paganism in the church. We're best to control people, but the church and education. And use the science to give you your false signs and wonders. I'm afraid, family, that's what's been done. And I'm also afraid that that's exactly what they're headed for deception that's in the future. You must be ready for that. Truth has been made into a lie. You know that God told us in Deuteronomy 4:2 even. That's Old Testament, by the way. You shall not add unto this word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that it may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Who was given the commandments first? Say we're in a classroom or something or auditorium. Someone say, hey, I got it. Say what? They're going to say Moses. I say, nope. Abraham. And who before him? Adam and Eve. You think God waited till Moses to put the commandments in stone, written in stone? No, he gave it to Abraham also. Because Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was to bring the word of God to mankind in the 12 tribes, divided up by their birthday, by their day they're born. The Abrahamic covenant, the 12 tribes, were to be used to distribute God's word, but they failed, of course. And that was when the time of the Gentiles came to be. And we're in that period now. And it's going to go back to the Hebrews when Jesus Christ is on this planet. But that's not until after Armageddon. Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commandments, my commands, decrees, and the law. Abraham was given the commandments. Moses had them written in stone. Adam and Eve was taught how to do the sacrifice in preparation, in anticipation of the coming Messiah, which would be thousands of years later. These other Bibles have completely massacred God's word in very tricky ways, as I've shown in some of the Bible studies I've had in the past, this past week, on how, I'm not going to go over it right now, but how these other Bibles purposely have been corrupted by design. Now, yesterday, I was talking about the signs and symbols. This is very important. Because these signs and symbols have with it, and again we go back to this frequency issue, because it affects, like quantum physics, like magnets to demonic entities. It works, like the Ouija board. And this is part of the problem, what's going on today, is people being demonized. That's where you have to learn spiritual warfare. So to solve all this, you know what they've done? They've assigned psychiatrists to... They've assigned psychiatrists... Where'd that come from? To explain away people being demonized. So they give it a psychological name and say, well, you need to take a pill for it. And we hear we have electrical shock. That'll straighten you right out. That's how they cover over it. And the other way they cover over is religion is using philosophy. Philosophy to cover over religion, and religion to cover over about Jesus Christ. Redirected. They've got it all covered out. When Jesus was talking, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whosoever soweth, a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6, verse 7. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Luke 8, 17. That's why the Illuminati, Satanists, the high-level hierarchies and all this, they have to reveal to you the truth. Because they're commanded to. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We talked about that yesterday. Expose them. And then reprove them. There's a difference. Exposing is teaching. I'm exposing the evil. I'm exposing the truth. Yeah, now keep going. Because now reprove it. Show why it is evil. They don't do that. Reproving is different than exposing. When I say I'm going to expose you to mathematics, Lord knows you don't want me to do that. But let's say I'm going to expose you. I'm a professor, a teacher at Harvard. I'm going to expose you to mathematics. Oh, okay. I'm going to expose you to the Bible. Okay. But if you say I'm going to expose and reprove, that's a whole different ballgame. That's different. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against man. For ye neither in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Whoa, preachers, you better get with it. Priests, rabbis, and preachers today. They're not following the true word of God. Give lukewarm preaching, long-term prayers, yet to still use wrong Bibles. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land and make one proselyte that ye has made, that ye made him twofold more than the child of hell than yourselves. He gets down with it. Matthew 23, 13 to 15. See, this order is looking for a promising candidates, those who are going to work for him, those who show high drives, those in sciences, Jesuits, experts, high IQs that they can use. Then they pay them off with rewards, promises, money, financial rewards, trophies, whatever, to keep them pulled in. Those who are seeking social acceptance and success in the world, the order of Satan's induction center, That's exactly what's going on today. When it goes to Matthew 23:16-23, it's quite lengthy. But that tells you about the hypocrisy that's going on today in the government, in the churches, in the schools, in the administration of law. It is the rule, not the exception. To identify their allegiance as a magnet to the supernatural, they have what's called signs and symbols. Now, those of you who've been studying this for a long time, you already know what I'm talking about. We spoke about that yesterday. And you'll actually find some of these symbols and logos in businesses that are have allegiance to the satanic realm, on cars, names of cars. Well, do y'all believe in luck and charm? Where's charms come from? The occult. Witchcraft, right? Well, it does. But you can eat the cereal called Lucky Charms. You say, oh, Tom, now you're going too far. Nope. My Little Pony, a cartoon for 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. It's a cute little cartoon about My Little Pony, right? Well, it's teaching your children witchcraft. Watch it someday. Look at the very first one that came out, the pilot for it. You have Nightmare, the nighttime little pony. It's evil. Then you got the daytime mare, whatever she's called, in the morning. Then you have the earth, fire, wind, and whatever powers and so forth. It's teaching duality. At a very early age, while you wash the dishes and cook or go work or whatever you do, your kids are watching My Little Pony. It's teaching them the witchcraft. Then they move on into Walt Disney. Walt Disney, oh, sexual perversions in the background, talking animals. It's cute, right? But what you're not seeing is the occult. Look it up right now. He was a pedophile. Disney was. Mickey Mouse Club. A lot of their stars now are singers, dancers, songwriters, whatever, or were in the occult. Almost every one of them. And the ones that did not turn over themselves to Lucifer, their careers didn't get very far. Check it out. I'm not an old fogey, but the old fogies were right. They were right. We didn't listen. The baby boomer generation started, and rightly so, because the 60s, that was planned by Tavistock of the occult, came into being, using drugs to start off. There's a reason why. I've talked about that before. It's an amazing story. Amazing planning. But these signs and symbols have power for those that believe it. For us, what to stay away from and not give it power by spreading the blood of Jesus around it and praying it away. Nullifying it, they call it. But universal symbols, which are characteristic of the emblematic Freemasonry, are the pentagram, hexagram, which is the Star of David, or Star of, or Shield of David, the Crest of Solomon, sign of Israel today, is not of God, nor is Judaism, nor is Christianity. It's all lukewarm, redirective. The all-seeing eye, the pyramid, the point within a circle. You ever heard of Target? Yeah. Exxon? You know the Exxon, E-X-X-O-N? Look at that E-X-X, look at that X-X again. You know what that is? That's a cross of Lorraine turned sideways. That's exactly what that is. That's the purpose of it. That's why they changed it from ESSO to Exxon. So they could put that cross of Lorraine in there. The pentagram, or you also got the cubic stone, the sun and moon and the blazing star. All this is satanic. It's all like a magnet to the demonic realm. It's amazing. The pentagram, which is the stars on our flag, by the way, and that's what they're there for, is a symbol used by fortune tellers, astrologers, and psychics, and witches, wizards, and magicians. People work in divination or conjuring in the eastern stars. The pentagram, with the badge around it, is Masonic insignia. Like the big red one. Or like the, what's that in the, like the Pentagon. That's all about the occult. The blazing star. Hexagram, known as the Star of David, the Crest of Solomon. It's one of the most potent symbols used in the working of powers of darkness that they have. It produces influences in the rituals of sacrifice for power, which is a blood sacrifice. Those aren't real Jews in Israel today. But that's God's business. It's not ours. God will take care of that at the abomination of desolation. There'll be a serious separation. This hexagram, is a conjuring of forces, entities, that hypnotize and seduce. And evil spirits gather in the forces at the summons of the person working the hex. Now, when you've got the Star of David, Crest of Solomon, Star of Moloch, the B overlay, a B on top of it, represents Babel, B-A-B-E-L. Amos 5:26. But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, and chewing your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. That's Amos 5:26, prophet Amos. You know that cubic stone? The cubic stone with the checkerboards and stars and pyramids and working tools is highly symbolic. And it's reflective directly from the tree of life in the Kabbalism. And this is working bewitchment through numbers. Now you understand the 13 and 33 and 11 and 3 and 9 and multiples of satanic numbers. That's what they are. They have an effect. Quantum physics, when used in alchemy, open up portals, affecting human beings in possession. Witchcraft. It's real. So real, the Pentagon has weaponized witchcraft. So is Russia. The evil eye in the pyramid or triangle, kind of a slick order of liberalists, build a religion called mystic worship, on the mysteries of the scripture. They're kind of in control of the eye of Lucifer, which is on the back of your dollar bill. The all-seeing eye. You know, they believe that the chosen of Satan to control the finances of the world. And on the physical realm, you know, controls it? The Knights Templar. Controls the money, Irish, for the Knights of Malta. They get everybody thinking the Jews do it. That's the outer portico to misdirect who really controls the finances. That's what's really going on. You know, the symbol, sun god Ra, he gives the wisdom to the financial wizards and control the commercial financial systems for now, because that sets you up for the mark of the beast. You know the Rosary Cross, the Red Cross, Rosicrucian, Rosy Cross, Red Cross, is a symbol of an order within Masonry. Rose, C-R-O-I-X. And it seeks a point of a union between all religious beliefs and between all human beings, which is called reincarnation. So the symbol, the Rosicrucian, devoted to the practical application of the cult philosophy to human affairs. Human affairs are divided into seven regions. Seven areas. I've talked about that before. Politics, science, philosophy, economics and finance, religion, harmony, beauty, and the arts is one. Politics. You got also the symbols of the hierarchy. These are worn by the grand wizards or dragons or shriners Egypt Templars, and others given honorary degrees by secret order of the Freemasons. Modernized paganism. Or the Illuminati. Illuminati infiltrated the Freemasonry 1781, 1782, in July, at the Congress of Wilhelmsbad. I'd say 95%, 98% of Freemasons don't even know that. The Shriners do. You know, something happened one day when I was in Georgia, living there. I'll never forget this. I had finished going to this mall where the post office was in Georgia. I lived there, outside of Atlanta. And I remember I'd finished my what I did there at the post office, was leaving, and went across this intersection and getting ready to enter the main road outside the mall. And there's a little old guy there, probably in his 70s, Shriner, had the bucket to give money to the Shriners or something like that, donations or something of that nature. He had his fez on. And I pulled up and behind one car, and the car threw some money in that bucket. I pulled up, ready to pull into the main road. And a little old man said, "Hello, how are you?" Just all smiles and, you know, like my grandfather or something. Just a real nice old man, you know, just nice, just jovial. "Had a great day, yes, great day, great, yeah, great, you know, we're blah, 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 yada, yada, yada." I'm waiting for the cars to get by. And I just, something hit me, and I said, So I said, "You know about the Illuminati?" Whoo, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. His whole smile disappeared. He stepped back and just become stoic. Forget the smile, forget the grandfather issue. That went away, bye-bye. It went, it's gone. And he got this solemn look on his face, like I hit a trigger word. And he quit. Didn't leave, but his whole personality character shut down. And I pulled out, but I'll never forget that. It's like I said a trigger word. He's leaning over, talking to me, you know. And when I said, "Do you know about the Illuminati?" Everything just changed, man. The whole atmosphere changed even outside. His whole face went frozen. He just stepped back real slow and just quit talking. I said, "Oh my, that's not cool." So, you know, I pulled out and left, but I'll never forget that. Like something took over. These symbols of the hierarchy, you know, they're followers of these gods of Mesopotamia, Babylon, Assyria, the worshippers of Baal. And you know, the god of every conceivable type of orgy, the creator of the driving, insatiable desires of sex and murder and sacrifice, is what's going on today in certain holidays. The demonic control and the working of curses is given to those who are sold out to the order. And these emblems are the earmark of Satan and his elect. That's what they're for. Now, I'm going to talk about here, don't let me forget, the last 15 minutes, I want to talk about how to be freed from this. I want to end this week with at least some solutions. So I don't want to forget that before we leave today, y'all. But you know, witchcraft in the church is rampant. Divination is condemned by God, and we're told not to use it in any form. It is forbidden. Yet its growth and practice is used widely in every church. And a lot of them don't even know. When the Pentecostal, the country churches start doing that run around the pews, I still ain't got used to that. I don't go there anymore. I can't. It's like, it makes me nervous. And you'll get some places, one or two. And when I went to last year, I went to one, never go back to that again ever. Everybody but 10, there's a lot of people in that church. A lot of people were in there. pews were filled up. And toward the end of that service, that preacher's getting all hot and going on. They had the King James Bible too. Everybody but 10 people, and I was one of the 10, that didn't get up, started going around in circle around the pews counterclockwise. I'll never forget that. I thought, man, I got to get out of here. Where is that door? There's a woman coming down the hall, in the middle of the pews with a megaphone, yelling at people to get up. I ain't about to get up. I'm looking at her and she's looking at me and I just grinned. You know, she's dangerous, man. That megaphone. Yeah, I said, man, I got to get this. This is like a Pentecostal. But the point is, they're going counterclockwise. You know those human trains you get in the parties? Bum, 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 bum. Everybody's touching everybody's shoulder and all that. That's kind of what it was. I remembered recently my experiences in Saudi Arabia, and they showed me pictures of Mecca. It's the same thing. And in Hindu, same thing. Circle, counterclockwise, with a center in the middle. I'm like, oh my goodness. It's linked together. Divination, Kundalini, popping people on the head and the back of the head. That's putting a demon in them. That's not healing them. It's not healing. Like Benny Hinn and all that. No way, man. No way. And you got that bunny hop, the racing. Bunny hop. Race cars. Family, it's all connected. Now you think, well, oh man, Tom's gone over the edge. No, it's actually connected. Freemasonry, the science, is in the sports. That's the baseball field. Is the logo of was above and so below. The square and the cup is overlapping each other. That's your baseball field. Baseball field. Baseball was created by Doubleday. Doubleday was a Freemason in the 1860s. Created baseball, America's favorite sport. Family, I hate to bring these things up, but these things are real. It's true. 9 players, 3 outs, etc. It's all about numbers, numerology. And they have power. What was hit 911? Pentagon. And what was hit 911? The Twin Towers, the twins. Boaz and Jachin, the two columns of Solomon's Temple that you also find in the Masonic Lodge. Well, the Masonic dedication of the cornerstone of the Pentagon, the Pentagon was September the 11th, 1941. The cornerstone, initially, for the World Trade Center, was in March 1966, but the Masonic dedication to the cornerstone of the World Trade Center was September 11th, 1966. Yeah, September 11th. That star position has everything to do was September 11th, 2001. Everything. We're supposed to have been in a new world order by the year 2000. And by the year 2001 was to bring those demons out of hell, the second heaven, by the sacrifice of the World Trade Center, which representative of the cult sacrifice. It had nothing to do with the Islamic terrorist. Now look all this up yourself. Find out for yourself. These spirits of divination, what they do is counterfeit the Holy Spirit by producing miracles and producing lookalikes. And these spirits can foretell events, name persons, dates, and places, and bring success and prosperity by making things happen. And these are Satan's angels, not God's. You probably don't want to hear such a heavy broadcast today, maybe, but, you know, time is of essence, and this is serious information I'm telling you, because family is going to come back around at us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38 and 8:39. This is the reality. When you step into this realm, into this study, you can't go back. It's almost impossible to go back to the way it used to be. You can't do it. It's like you haven't forget everything you've learned. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There goes soul sleep right out the door. You know, working through the perverse spirit, the spirit of divination, producing lying wonders, today's leaders worldwide have become agents of Satan because of their psychic or soulish praying. They began to manipulate people by the continual repeating of certain Bible verses, particular situations, circumstances, or control of other human beings. They'll use the Bible to fool you. Like Rick Joyner. He's a Knights of Malta. He serves two. You can't serve two. You serve two, you serve one. That's Satan. Absolutely. Because he's taken the blood oath. Knights of Malta. A cross. A cross is folded into a cube, which is Saturday worship. They don't tell you that. I'll see how they reconcile that. Anyway, they begin to manipulate people by these verses that they manipulate, that they restructure. You know, the believer in Christ Jesus, he uses the name of Jesus when praying and prays the will of God in all things. They do not trespass on the will of others, nor impose their wishes or desires of the individual that's being prayed for. But God has made us free, moral agents, given us power over demons, but you've got to have that faith. But it's not, you don't have the power over the will of another human being. Neither should you. Christ says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Wait a minute. Isn't that going against everything we're taught by Tony Robbins, Dale Carnegie, Victoria Osteen? Word faith? Huh. Completely opposite, isn't it? The spirit of divination says, confess the word and speak it into existence. See, that's when you claim and speak to situations, it's by your faith that results happen. TBN, the word of faith, talks about speak it into existence. You're a God. Family, that is New Age thinking. One side up, down the other. And once they've hooked them and crooked them with their power of teaching, they hold their hands up, move the hand around, it mesmerizes thousands of people. That's how that works. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressively that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There it is. The prophets in sin are self-exalting. Now, if I come on like maybe a month from now, and I get all kinds of full of myself here, you see. I got a broadcast, and I got a newsletter, say, and I get on Facebook, I don't know, I come up with a coffee cup that's got my name on it and ugly picture, whatever, you understand. Yeah. And all of a sudden I come on, this is Prophet Gamble. I do call myself a watchman, but there's a lot of watchmen out there. I'm a watchman. But anybody can be a watchman. When I start talking about I'm Prophet Gamble, I'm Bishop Gamble, man, start running. You know, I'm not a bishop, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a disciple. I don't claim myself to be one. I just speak about the Word of God that I read, that I study. I pass it on. You make your own decision. Get your own life with Jesus. I heard Arnold Murray say one day, when I was going through research on Shepherd's Chapel and Arnold Murray, he said, "You don't quote. You don't have to read the Bible. Just listen to me." Whew. Anyway, oh yeah. These are people who probably once were probably saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, well intending to do the will of the Father, but allowed materialism to creep in and gave place to the spirit of greed. You know, that fits Billy Sunday. The Rockefellers funded Billy Sunday toward the end of his life. He was a great evangelist until the Rockefellers got a hold of him. Introduced him to mayors and governors and so forth. Then Billy Sunday started preaching politics on the pulpit. He was funded by the Rockefellers later. You know, agents yielded to divination produces fruit. May appear good, but only until others are seduced into the same world of darkness. Unsuspecting seldom realize until the evil spirit's deeply seated in their entire being. So, their hearts become hardened, conscience is seared, and the spirit still has easy access to them. Satan comes as an angel of light. You heard that, right? His demons are well learned. They're busy trying to counterfeit, imitate the work of God. So the powers of darkness try every conceivable way to stop the heirs of the kingdom of God from entering into their inheritance. Now you say, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, Christmas, Easter, parties, all the things we've all done, mega churches, Halloween, golf, football, things that you put ahead of God that becomes an idol. Now, it doesn't mean because you go watch football, it's going to go to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. It's when you make it an idol. You make it your life. You do nothing else but that. He's got something for everybody to keep you busy and tied up. Anything to take you away from worshiping God becomes an idol. There's times you got to pull yourself away from these things and give God time. I don't know if I'm telling you or telling me too. I'm just as guilty as everybody. But I have to tell you about it. You know, ignorance of Satan's devices, not believing in the power and authority of God's given us, and greed and competitiveness and the forefront has given Satan a place to work in the church. That's where you get people fighting in the churches. I got more gifts than you. No, I got 3 gifts. Well, I got 4. Na 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 boo boo. You know. Well, my gift is better than your gift. Hey, did you get that in churches? You come up to the preacher and say, well, why are we using NIV? You know that's the evil Bible. You know it's missing verses. You're not going to be in that church very long. Because they'll all follow the preacher. When are the congregations going to rise up, so to speak, and demand that the preacher and the board, whatever organization you have, bring you King James Bibles and get rid of Bibles that's missing the verses. Why is that even an issue in a church? How come those that have been using for 20 years the New King James Bible that's missing 100,000 words has a 666 tricetra on the cover of it, the same design that Merle Ferguson has on her book, The Age of Aquarius? How come the congregations don't complain about that and demand, I didn't say ask, I said demand that it be removed in a real King James Bible? How come that's a problem? How come they don't do it? They just sit there. If Christians accept a counterfeit for the real, an imitation instead of the genuine, they can not enter into eternal things of God. It's counterfeit. Spirits of divination, kundalini, all this produce success, fame, fulfill personal desires, makes you feel like you're saved and born again. But eternity is everlasting. Hell is real. To practice divination is in direct opposition to the Word of God. Ezekiel 13, 6 to 7. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, "The Lord said, and the Lord hath not sent them, that they have made others to hope that they would confirm the world. Have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken the lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord said it, albeit I've not spoken." You know, the life of Jesus and his method of ministry during the time he was on this earth, it is our example of how to cast out devils, how to fight the war against these devils and confront them as people are doing today on the street. Every day now, it's increasing. Literally. They're in physical bodies, these demons. Literally. Churches are not teaching their parishioners how to deal with the demonic realm, but to have fear. When in reality, you're more powerful than they are, but it's not being taught in the churches. See, no devil or demon is greater or mightier entity, and no demon can dominate a true believer. When you as Christians take authority over the forces of darkness, there is a conflict in the heavenlies. 1 Corinthians. Talks about it. 10. Verses 4 to 6. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, Christ was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. That Bible covers everything. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, we got to use the weapons of our warfare, spiritual warfare, nullifying the intents and desires of Satan, applying the blood of Jesus to them, and destroying the spirits of divination by prayer and fasting and direct confrontation. There is infinite power in the name of Jesus, but not Yahweh. There is infinite power in the name of Jesus, but not Jeshua. Infinite power in the name of Jesus, but not Sananda, or Bodhisattva, or Allah, or Krishna, or Maitreya. None of them, but the name of Jesus. Well, now I'm going to tell you about news and events, because what we've talked about so far is the spiritual realm. Spiritual warfare. Full armor of God. How does this appear in our daily life today? That's where the news comes from. They're going to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. They tell you, then they give you other options of why it's occurring. You Know what they're telling you now? Here's some articles. How about this? All your social media posts are now sorted by location, up for sale. So everything you put on your social media and the internet, people can buy it. Well, what's that supposed to do? Cause me fear? No, I see it as free advertisement. But they're closing in on total control of people. And they're letting you know what they're doing. So you'll start getting the fear about you. Then they're coming out, and boy, right here's a humdinger. 15 end-time prophecies have already happened, and 5 that are on the verge of happening. See, they're trying to get you to believe that now is the tribulation. It's right now. So you got these, I don't know how people ain't picking this up, but they got everything from RFID chip, Mark of the Beast, now, Euphrates River drying up. That goes all the way to the bold judgments. We're not even remotely close to there. But they're saying it's already happened. The great Euphrates has already dried up. The sixth angel, the sixth trumpet sounded. No, it hasn't. 200 million man army. Not possible before the country of China. There we go. And their one-child policy. So they're trying to make China and Russia be the 200 million man army. No. This is toward the end of the trumpet, judgment, Armageddon, against Jesus Christ. He's not here yet. And this 200 man army, million man army they're talking about, is a transhumanized, supernatural, Nephilim army that's going to happen at the sixth trumpet. We're not even the first seal yet. They got the great falling away. Hebrew language is restored. No, it's not. Not yet, it's not. They got a gibberish they got over there now. Rise of lawlessness. It's increasing, yes, but not the way it's going to. Return of Jews to reclaim Israel, 1948. Nope. That happened. God allowed it. But the restoration of Israel is when Jesus Christ takes over. Jews there today, they're not preaching the true word of God. Even Messianic Jews are not even going there. Jonathan Cahn's a Messianic Jew. He's a con job. Shemitah. Harbinger. He even admits that that's a fiction. God don't work in fiction. Jerusalem is capital, 1966. God did allow it to happen for a place for them to go in preparation for the continuation or the holy city to be restored. But not yet, it's not. Because don't forget, World War III is yet to happen. The Antichrist is still yet to step into Jerusalem to claim himself to be God. In the meantime, the Jews that evangelized after the 144,000 does evangelizing will head for the hills at the abomination of desolation. They don't sound restored to me. It hadn't happened yet. Wars and rumors of wars? Oh, sure. All created by Satan through the Jesuits, as I've talked about many times and proven. So they're trying to make it look like it's already happened. And now we're waiting on the return of Jesus. Well, that's going to be Sinan Emmanuel. And naturally, you've got End Times, or We're Living End Times, by Tim LaHaye, Jerry Jenkins. Well, Tim LaHaye is one of the founders of Council of National Policy. The Council of National Policy is a secretive right-wing group. It has Palin, has Chuck Missler, has James Dobbs, all these guys in there. All right-wing evangelists and so forth. Council of National Policy works for the Council of Foreign Relations. They formed the Tea Party. Ron Paul, Rosicrucian, they're all under this Council of National Policy. Not good. Not good at all. Minutes to go. You know, is Jesus going to return during the blood red moon? No such thing as blood red moon. You know, there have been tetrad of lunar eclipses. The timing of these eclipses in the Jewish calendar is unusual, but not unprecedented. The fact of the eclipses, they're very interesting, of course. Satanic worship takes place on them. Human sacrifice happens those days. Always has since the beginning of time. Just about. There's no proof whatsoever that Jesus will return in about 2015. Furthermore, John and Joel's descriptions of signs of the day of the Lord could refer to solar or lunar eclipses. But there are other possible explanations for these phenomena. The day of the Lord is the beginning of the trumpet judgments. This blood red moon that Hagee and Mark Blitz and all these people talk about, it's just a theory. And a very unlikely theory at that. Because the Bible warns us against setting dates of the coming of the Lord. About that day or hour, no one knows. Yet they say it's 2017. Now, when God pulls away, can they make things happen? Sure. When they do, they're going to fool many people. You know, references to the moon-like blood are found in two passages of the Bible. Joel 2:30-31 says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Family, that's the sixth seal. Almost word for word. In Revelation 6, verse 12, John describes one of the sealed judgments of the tribulation. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars of the sky fell to earth. Family, that's the fallen angels. Second heaven will fall on this earth. As figs dropped from a fig tree were shaken by a strong wind, the heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. The other passages refer to the moon being darkened. So, Four Blood Moons, book, waste of money. Got nothing to do with Scripture. And yet they're selling millions of copies. It's gaining popularity. People are buying off on it because of their popularity. But certainly not their teaching. Blood red moons in the next 2 years will be an important or a portion of Jesus' second coming, they say, and the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. These charts show four lunar eclipses will occur during 2014 to 2015. And because a full lunar eclipse makes the moon look red or orange, it's sometimes referred to as a blood moon, that's all. Or blood red moon, they like to call it, for obvious reasons. Some teachers of prophecy even say that this tetrad of blood moons will fulfill end times prophecy that's listed in Joel and Revelation. And now as we've talked, it's not true. Can they make something happen? Sure. But it's not in the book of Revelation. I mentioned something very quickly about Rockefeller. Well, watch this. Striking South African miners were shot in the back. Striking miners shot dead by police at South Africa Lomond mine were reportedly hit in the back, suggesting they were fleeing rather than attacking. Is this uncommon? No, it's normal. Let me tell you why. This is about August 2012. Well, what I found was, they're reporting it again, but you know, what's the days of sacrifice of a month? April 19th and April 20th. That's when sacrifices occur. Because of the moon position, the stars position, and the constellations, it's a dedication of death to the fallen angels, to Lucifer, as I've said many times before. The veil thins during the month of spring, especially 19th and 20th. April 19th, 1775. The Battle of Lexington, Concord. 1,200 British soldiers were killed. We never gained our freedom ever in history. You people in the United Kingdom, those that study history, know this. And they kind of chuckle at our so-called Declaration of Independence Day, 4th of July. They kind of chuckle because they know it's not true. I don't blame them any, because we've been lied to. That's here and there. April 19th, 1775, Battle of Lexington and Concord. April 19th, 1904, was the Great Fire of Toronto. April 19th, 1906, was a San Francisco earthquake. April 19th, 1943, Jewish resistance fighters were trapped in storm drain in Warsaw, Poland, held them there for several days, waiting for the Passover, for Easter, actually. And Nazi stormtroopers began to pour fire into each end of the storm drain using flamethrowers, and they burned them all alive. They were dead, blood sacrifices brought about by conflagration. April 19th, 1943. They waited until that day could come. April 20th, 1985 to 20 April, yeah, was ATF raid on the Covenant, the Sword and the Arm of the Lord compound in northern Arkansas. April 19th, 1993, 50 years later, that was Warsaw. After Warsaw, the day government troops, tanks, and other equipment, David Koresh. That's April 19th, 1993. 50 years to the day. April 19th, 1995, Oklahoma City bombing. MK Ultra was used there. April 20th, 1999 was Columbine. Those two kids were under, killers were under Prozac. April 19th, 2005, Joseph Ratzinger was elected as Pope. April 20th, 2007, was Johnson Space Center shooting an incident of hostages in Building 44. April 19th, 2010, 400 straws of bale were caught fire, blazed out of control in Canada. It's all about fire. April 19th, 2010, volcanic ash grounds of Iceland's volcano. April 20th, 2010. Next day, the Gulf oil fire. April 20th was Adolf Hitler's birthday. April 19th and 20th, I can go on and on. Some of them I've missed already. That's just a few. You're saying, well, what's that got to do with the miners? Okay. Now, let's go back. I sort of established, oh, I got plenty more for that. April 16th was people of the Virginia Tech Massacre. And then April 19th was Waco. We got that. And the explosion, April 19th of the USS Idaho, the gun turned. April 18th was a fertilizer plant explosion in Texas. April 16th was the Boston Marathon explosions. 3 killed, 107 injured. There's also a false flag, but it killed people. Boy, I tell you. And there's even more. We talk about the birth of Rome, Islam, Mohammed, Nazi, Hitler, and all. Good gosh almighty. Okay. Bay of Pigs, April 17th, April 19th, 1961. End of the Vietnam War, April 30th. Start of the Civil War is April 12th. Battle of San Jacinto of Texas, end of Texas Revolution is April 19 to 21. Start of the Mexican War is April 25th. Oh, find me a cave this coming April. Anyway, no. All right. The miners. I ain't talking about baseball either. Watch this. April the 20th. I didn't mention this yet. April the 20th, 1914. Militia slaughters strikers at Ludlow, Colorado. Colorado militiamen attacked a tent colony. Ever heard of Blackwater? Colorado militiamen attack a tent colony of strikers, killing dozens of men, women, and children. It began the previous September. About 11,000 miners in southern Colorado went on strike against the Colorado Fuel and Iron Corporation. That was protest low pay, dangerous working conditions, company's autocratic dominance over the workers' lives. Well, guess what? They were owned, Colorado Fuel and an iron corporation was owned by the Rockefeller family and Standard Oil, and responded to this strike by immediately evicting the miners and their families from company-owned shacks. With the help from the United Mine Workers, the miners moved with their families to canvas tent colonies scattered around nearby hills and continued the strike. Now, when the evictions failed in the strike, the Rockefeller interest hired private detectives, attacked the tent colonies with rifles and Gatling guns. The miners actually fought back. Several were killed. Tenacity of the strikers became apparent, so the Rockefellers approached the governor of Colorado. They authorized the use of the National Guard, and they agreed to pay the wages. So the strikers thought the National Guard were there to protect them. They discovered that the militia was under orders to break the strike. And on this day, 1914, two companies of guardsmen attacked the largest tent colony of strikers of about 1,000 men, women, and children. And the attack began in the morning with a barrage of bullets fired into the tents. The miners shot back with pistols and rifles. Strike leader was killed attempting to negotiate a truce. They thought the attack would intensify. To stay safe from gunfire, women and children took cover in pits dug beneath the tents. And at dusk, the guardsmen moved down the hills, setting the tent colony on fire and torches, shooting at the families as they fled into the hills. This carnage was not discovered until the next day. And the telephone linesman discovered a pit under one of the tents filled with remains buried of 11 children and 2 women. That's a Ludlow massacre. Outraged a lot of Americans. Did little to help the Colorado miners and their families. You don't hear about that much. 66 men, women, and children died during the strike. But not a single militiaman or private detective was charged with any crime. That's Ludlow, Colorado. Now, I did some more research on that, as you might have guessed I would. Well, I did. And found something out. It's quite interesting. Now I got 10 minutes. I want to remember I said I was going to talk about solving some issues about this spiritual warfare, but let me get to this. Did you know this Colorado Fuel Iron Massacre? I found something else out too. That the Rockefellers covers over their philanthropy and their evil by donations. I told you I was going to get back to it, didn't I? John D. Rockefeller gift of $20 million for the purpose of advancing Protestant theology to a dummy tax-dodging foundation called the Solantic Fund was announced about January 1955. Had a gift of $1 million to Harvard for a school of divinity had been announced. So, what this does is it demonstrates the uses of philanthropy in the best tradition of Adam Weishaupt that taught May 1776, taught these Illuminati for the purpose of bribing public opinion. So it follows a set pattern of Rockefeller's philanthropies. Now, watch. Whenever under attack, noted, quote, Roosevelt's Communist Manifesto, Manuel Josephson, first edition, 1955, says, and I quote, whenever under attack, the Rockefellers made such philanthropic gesture, particularly to religion. In the early part of the century, following the outraged outcry of the nation at the brutal Colorado Fuel and Iron Massacre of their workers, they set up the Laura Spelman Rockefeller Memorial. It initially was entirely devoted to charity and support of churches, but as soon as public attention was diverted, its monies went to the support of subversion and the Illuminist communist conspiracy under the direction of Beardsley Rummel. Quote, they also launched Billy Sunday, and he says evangelical revivalism in that era, as they're now doing with Billy Graham. Weishaupt taught his followers well the value of using religion and philanthropy as a cover for the conspiracy. Quote, Rockefeller's chief Protestant philanthropy ran by kinsman John Foster Dulles. The Federal Council of Churches of Christ was pronounced by Naval Intelligence in 1936 to be one of the most dangerous, subversive institutions in the country. Unquote. And you know today that they changed the name in the 1940s of the Federal Council of Churches as the National Council of Churches. That's ugly. But I'm not done. Because in addition to Ludlow, in 1912, 2 years before Ludlow, something else happened. In 1912, and that which happened in 1912, I'll tell you in a minute, make sure, was the massacre in Mattawan, West Virginia. May 19th, 1920 was Mattawan Massacre. The spring of 1920 was a troubled time in the West Virginia coal fields. Nationwide coal strike settled during the winter won unionized miners a 27% wage increase. Unfortunately, the settlement didn't help most miners in southern West Virginia, the largest non-unionized coal region of the country, when United Mine Workers stepped up their campaign to organize Logan, Mingo, and McDowell counties. They striked Mattawan. Well, guess what? Tensions between two sides exploded into violence on May the 19th when 13 Baldwin Phelps detectives, hired by Rockefellers, arrived in Mattawan to evict union miners from the houses owned by Stone Mountain Coal Company. And you had the Mattawan Chief of Police, Sid Hatfield. Yeah. He intervened on behalf of the evicted families, a native of Tug Viller River Valley. He is supported by miners' attempt to organize. He is known throughout Mingo County as a man who was not afraid of a fight. Carried out several evictions. Detectives ate dinner at the hotel here and then walked to the depot to catch a 5 o'clock train to Bluefield, West Virginia. They were intercepted by Hatfield, who claimed to have arrest warrants from the county sheriff. So as Detective Phelps produced a warrant for Hatfield's arrest. And Mattawan Mayor Testerman claimed to be a fake. So the detectives didn't know they had been surrounded by armed miners. They watched intently from the windows and doorways from Main Street and White Phelps. Hatfield, Testerman, faced off, a shot rang out, and gun battle left 7 detectives and 4 townspeople dead, including Phelps and Testerman. Hatfield became a hero for his part in the Mattawan Massacre, but in the summer of 1921, Hatfield and associate Ed Chambers were shot dead by Baldwin Phelps detectives on the steps of McDowell County Courthouse, where they were going to testify. Family, Rockefellers made $200 million off of World War I. It's been ongoing. It's worldwide what these people do. These are Illuminati. Nothing's changed. It's what's happening. To be freed from this enslavement, what can a person do who's become seduced in this false religion? What can they do? God's made a way for everyone to come to Him for forgiveness and salvation. By the very work done on Calvary, through the only begotten Son of the Father, this man, Christ Jesus, He's ever ready to forgive and forget we were once His enemy. He reconciled on the cross of Calvary. Now, merely not attending the functions and meetings and no longer paying dues to these orders does not destroy the oath or vow that you made. There's but one way, and that's through Christ Jesus and His shed blood on the cross. So you got to repent and cut that generational curse that goes back to your grandfather, your great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-grandfather, whatever it is, four generations, and ask God to forgive you from ever becoming either innocently or deliberately a part of a false religion, which is Freemasonry. See, God's mercy endures from generation to generation. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You'll find that in 1 John 1, verse 9. You cleanse yourself by putting the blood of Jesus between you and this doctrine. Renounce the occult and this order, any of its agents, symbols, friends. Witness to them, but be gone. Denounce Satan and all the agents in hell. Ask God to nullify and void out all statements that you've sworn oath to. All the degrees you've taken, you got to recant. Because they've attached a demon to your family and to you. The vows and curses, the things you did to help the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, you got to think back and renounce it. You ask the Lord to break every oath made verbally or written. You see, the blood of Jesus, when applied by the believer, will destroy this curse from you and break its power. Then you got to chase them out of your house. Literally. Supernaturally. That will break its power to do anything to you or your seed forever. They'll fight you too, supernaturally. You could even lose your job. You could have problems at work, at home. You have to pray for that. It stirs up a whole nest of fire, let me tell you. Be cleansed from all the many abominable teachings by the blood of Jesus, which you should apply over your mind, body, and soul. It's called the full armor of God. You destroy the documents, the treaties, the Bibles, and aprons. The King James Bible, remember, stands. But all these heretical Bibles, the King James Masonic Bible, it's different. It's not a King James Bible. The aprons, the swords, the ribbons, the emblems, the images, the idols, anything with design or emblem or insignia upon it, do not discard it, destroy it. It's up to you. In Deuteronomy 7:26, neither shall thou bring an abomination to thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Deuteronomy 7:26. How do you misinterpret that? You cleanse yourself as well as your house of any adjacent buildings or shops or offices, garages, automobiles, safety deposit boxes. See, family, these demons I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. These demons can occupy not only physical, but animals that maybe you can, you know, pray the demon out of the animal. I know that sounds nuts, but it's how they hide. And in objects, John Todd talks about it, about records, now they produce the records. Look it up. Burn all items which can be burned. Crush and grind to a fine powder those which can be crushed or determined or beaten or melt, which can be melted or bury the remains in the depths of the earth or cast in the sea. All the while applying the precious blood of Jesus and declaring to Satan that the blood of Jesus destroys to the uttermost anything that's associated with this secret society or witchcraft. But don't be intimidated by the devil, because he's going to come at you. Because you've taken steps. And renounce Satan openly and let it be known that you've come out of the dark secret pit of Satan. You've renounced your vows. But you got to trust the Lord Jesus to preserve and protect you and keep you from the unrighteous. He's going to come at you when you do this. The Lord's promised us that he'll keep us. He is ever faithful. Psalms 121, verse 3 and 4. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Daniel 3:17, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. He will deliver us. And finally, you have these family curses that they don't like to admit, but they're there, carried four generations. You may not have taken the oath, but a mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, great-great-grandfather, whatever, in preceding generations, vowed to these obligations, then you, the individual seeking freedom from the bondage of the curse, must renounce this ungodly order and then ask God to forgive you, to forgive whoever belonged to that order. 1 John 1, verse 9. I've heard this so many times. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, the blood of Jesus breaks the curse that comes down from generation upon generation. This is easy to say. It is not easy to do. But you have decision to make. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So if you have acquired any possession from your ancestors which are connected with the association of this order, you got to destroy them, following the steps of what I've talked about. This is how it works. And that's not an easy thing to do when you got heirlooms and so forth. But they've brought a curse that's linked up to these secret societies. That's the short of it. I wanted to cover that before, you know, the weekend to complete it today. Next week, I want to talk about, we can talk about the homosexual and perverse spirit, which encompasses all of it. Not just homosexuality. We've talked about the symbols and modernized paganism. It's within the churches, within the schools. It's up close and personal. And this is a lot of what's going on in families today that people don't realize. When you start talking about demons and spirits and all that in any of the churches, they look at you like you're crazy. I say, well, look at your Bible. What talks about devils? What do you think it means when it talks about devils? Oh, they won't answer you. They go to church. Who's God? He's supernatural. What's demons? They're supernatural. Do you believe in God? Yeah. You believe in supernatural? Yeah. Then there's demons out there. You got to fight through the blood of Jesus. That's what the Bible's all about, just about. Yet when you talk about it, they're like, oh man, you're going overboard here. Well, no, you're not going overboard. This is the battle. We fight it not against flesh and bones, but against principalities and powers of darkness. What do you think that means? You see? Well, we're coming to the end. We got Bible study tonight, 8 to 9. And also, I want to remind you all that we have our broadcast and our Bible studies that are randomly played at highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And my part is to let you all know he plays us up there. There's no commercial exchange between us two. It's just he plays our broadcasts and Bible studies. And to do that, I tell you about John Kirkler. That's how I do it. He's a good guy, and he has a website, highpointradio.net. He does have sponsors. He's putting up towers and to expand his network. And he has sponsors that if you live in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, you've got business up there in these areas to look up his website. You can find his sponsors and use them. And then talk about John Kirkler. Our part, or the exchange, is that he plays our broadcasts and Bible studies. And I promised I'd talk about him when you do that, because what I like to do, I say our, but what I like to do is get my broadcast out. That's my part. I don't use this as any kind of commercial gain whatsoever. This costs me money. I have no donate button. All I want to do is get the word of God out and get out the truth behind these lies. I hate these lies. Man, look, liars as bullies. I just don't like it. Why do people do that? Why? I've been there. I've done this. You know, and I look back at what I did, and what I did was wrong. You know, when you're lying, you're telling falsehoods, they're going to come back at you every single time. No exception. It's not worth it. You destroy yourself, you destroy lives, and lies, it's like, you know, doesn't make sense to deceive people. You have that guilt that's upon you. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. You see? And you think you got away with something. See, you haven't. It stays there. You know, when someone asks you the question, you're like, oh, you hold your breath. What'd I tell them? I forgot. But when you tell the truth, man, you don't have that anymore. You might have a loss of memory, you know, when you get older. But that's it. You don't have to worry about it. Because then when you finally get caught in a lie, it's a bad situation. Now, if you get to the point you don't care, then you better start worrying. You never get away with a lie, ever. It's impossible to get away with a lie because God remembers it. So it's best just to own up to it. And it's even better is just don't do it. I had a captain in the Marine Corps when I was a lieutenant up in Buffalo, New York. When I first reported in as recruiting duty, Buffalo, New York, back in 78, 77. Disco time. With a bald head, disco. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll never forget this one captain that was the assistant up there to the major, and I was the operations officer. I'll never forget, we had to report to district. He said, Lieutenant, sometimes you got to tell a lie. I'm like, huh? He closed the door. Said, look, sometimes you got to tell district a lie about how many recruits we got in. I'm like, what am I hearing here? He says, the best way to tell a lie is to make yourself believe it. I'm thinking, why is this captain telling the lieutenant this kind of thing? I said, this is going to be a bad year. And it was, but family's everywhere. If I'm telling the truth, I had learned the hard way. Telling a lie is never good. The presidents, all of them, and our legislators, our so-called four-star generals, it'd take a lesson for you to know that. But, of course, your blood oath prevents you from doing that, right? The ends justify the means? No, they don't. Family, seek the name of Jesus. Follow the truth. He'll lead you there. The Holy Spirit will. The only one. No human will, but the Holy Spirit will. Y'all have a great weekend. Remember, greater is He in you that's in the rest of the world. Y'all have a great night, great weekend. And family, God bless y'all. And good night. This is the Watchman signing off.
The love was shining out from Him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.